the headlines. People in the southwestern Iranian city of Izeh hold a funeral for the victims of Wednesday's terror attack there. The U.S. military says one of its bases in northeast Syria has come under a rocket attack with no damage or casualties reported. And also in our headlines, Russia accuses the U.S. of testing the patience of North Korea as tensions simmer on the Korean Peninsula. Hello and welcome, everybody. Our top story for this half hour: people in the southwestern Iranian city of Izeh have held a funeral for the victims of the Wednesday terror attack there. Mourners expressed their grief for the victims while at the same time slamming those behind the deadly assault. Two gunmen shot at people in central Izeh, Khuzestan province. Seven people, including a child, lost their lives. As a result, 10 more were injured. Also last month, a terror attack took place at a revered shrine in Iran's southern city of Shiraz, leaving over a dozen people dead. The assaults came on the heels of recent riots in Iran. Tehran says that terrorists have taken advantage of the wave of unrest and rioting, which are hatched and staged by foreign-backed elements. Iran's Vice President for Economic Affairs, Mohsen Rezaei, attended the funeral in Izeh. He said the country will take revenge against all those behind the terror attack there. Rezaei made the comments as he addressed people taking part in the funeral procession. He said three terrorists involved in the attack in Izeh were arrested while they were trying to flee Iran via its northwestern borders. Rezaei said the United States is attempting to foment insecurity in Iran. Those attempts, he added, are in line with America's policy to exert pressure on Iran through imposing sanctions. The Iranian officials said the U.S. is resorting to creating unrest in Iran because Tehran has already managed to mitigate the effects of the sanctions.
Iran has witnessed another deadly terrorist attack. The latest deadly incident happened in the city of Izeh in Iran's southwestern province of Khuzestan. Unidentified gunmen opened fire on civilians and security forces, killing several people, including a child and an elderly woman. The terror attack also left a number of people injured. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the assault. President Ebrahim Raisi has condoled with the families of the victims, ordering security officials to identify and bring to justice all terrorists behind the attack. A senior judicial official says three people who were behind the brutal attack were arrested. The special operation is going on to identify and to bring to justice other people involved in the attack in the city of Izeh. Separately, a religious seminary school in the Izeh city was set ablaze by a group of rioters. No one was injured in that incident. Separately, three people were killed and eight security forces injured during riots in Semirom in the central Iranian province of Isfahan. Two security forces also killed and two others wounded in the city of Malikshahr in Isfahan province. Last month, a terrorist attack happened in the city of Shiraz. On October 26, a terrorist attacked the popular Shia shrine of Shah Cheragh in Iran's southwestern province of Fars, killing over a dozen people. That attack was claimed by the Daesh terrorist group.
Iran says a terrorist attack is part of a larger plot to destabilize the country. It also says the U.S. and its allies are trying to plunge the country into a crisis by supporting terrorists. Iran says Western support for rioters incites violence and hatred.
The attacks come amid ongoing foreign-backed riots that have hit various Iranian provinces after a 22-year-old Kurdish woman named Mahsa Amini died in the hospital despite intensive medical care and resuscitation efforts. The rioters have been going on a rampage across the country, attacking security officers, resorting to vandalism against public property, and desecrating religious sanctities. Iran says the attacks are part of a larger plot to destabilize the country. Foreign Minister Amir Abdullahian says security services, the Israeli regime, and certain Western politicians are conspiring to trigger a civil war in Iran to destroy and to disintegrate the country. He warned them that Iran is not Libya or Sudan. He also noted that the enemies are targeting Iran's territorial integrity and identity, saying that Iran will not allow anyone to jeopardize national security. The terrorist attack comes amid Western attempts to stoke unrest in Iran and to create more economic hardships for the Iranian people. Late last month, Iran's main intelligence bodies reported that the U.S., backed by the UK, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and other allies, are devising a multidimensional plot for instigating riots in the Islamic Republic and directing the wave of violence.
کی این برنامه ریزی رو کرده؟ بنده به صراحت میگم این برنامه ریزی کار آمریکا، کار رژیم غاصب و جعلی صهیونیستی و دنبال روای اونهاست. نشستن برنامه ریزی کردن، برنامه ریزی کردن، عمله و مزدوران و حقوق بگیران اونها، بعضی از ایرانی های خائن هم که در بیرون از کشور هستن به اینها کمک کردن.
We are telling our enemies, the US, Britain, the Saudis, these are the ones that through their destructive media outlets they are targeting our revolution. We are warning them that we will break you, we will crush you, you will not find any way into this territory.
Western countries expressed their open support for rioters and acts that Tehran described as inciting violence and hatred. The European Union and some Western countries have imposed sanctions on Iran over its approach toward the recent riots. Recently, the former U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton confirmed that subversive groups in Iran, which he characterized as the opposition, are being armed with weapons imported from Iraq's Kurdistan.
Earlier, we spoke to researcher and activist Hossein Sheikhian. He says the CIA seeks to turn Iran into another Syria through psychological warfare and field operation.
I think the psychological warfare which is going on in Iran is which is also connected with the in-field operations. It reminds us of the old techniques that CIA have had in its plans in Syria or other countries, when they were killing innocents by themselves and making a psychological warfare on the same murder by themselves, claiming that the ruling regime has done it. They're doing it, the same plan in Iran too. We have been witnessing these kind of murdering people. And again, after that, at the same time or at the minutes after that, the huge amounts of contents and news and, I don't know, videos made by the operators or the people side are coming to pressure another wave of pressure on Iran and Iranian people.
Activist and political analyst Sarbaz Ruhollah Rezvi points out how Western media play a key role in abusing the legitimate popular demands in Iran and turning them into violent clashes.
I want to drag the attention of the audiences to the core of this hybrid war that's going on against Iran. The core of this hybrid war is media. Media is playing a special role here. Media is playing the main, substantial role in igniting the problems inside Iran. They are inviting people towards violence. They are triggering people. They are making violence normal for people based on the demand that a certain group of people may have, a cultural, political, economic demand that in any other country of all, that's quite something normal, that people may have some demands, some requests. A portion of people, a part of people, they may have some criticism, but that's being misused by media, shifting that protest towards violence and bringing people to the streets. This is the first step. The media is putting effect in the streets of Iran, not in Tehran, not in Isfahan. Now it's widespread across the country.
The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman has condemned the U.S. sanctions on the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting officials and reporters. Nasser Kanani says this is another example of the blatant violation of Iranians' rights by the U.S. Kanani says the U.S. is preventing the views of the Iranian people from being heard around the world. He says this is while it allows various, quote, terrorist networks and media to commit malicious acts against Iran. According to the Iranian official, this shows that the U.S. has no plans to end its crimes against independent countries. The U.S. sanctions target the head of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, as well as its deputy for world services, which also doubles as Press TV chief. The European Union and Canada have also imposed sanctions on Press TV. The bans are part of wider sanctions targeting Iranian officials and entities over alleged human rights violations following recent riots in Iran. Tehran has strongly rejected those claims and slammed the bans as a clear example of meddling in the country's internal affairs. Journalist and political commentator Said Mohsen Abbas says Press TV is on the target because it counters fake news spread by the West propaganda machines.
Soft power war, which the Americans and their partners have engaged in, is equally as powerful as the hard power of military intervention. In fact, I would go as far as to say that the soft power war is far more effective and powerful a tool in their eyes. And they continue to demand that kind of support for that division. I mean, and then the response of Press TV obviously gives them a huge problem. It's a huge problem for them that the Press TV truth counters the fake news that they invariably put out. So they terrorize nations through propaganda, through fake news, through false information, through entire campaigns. The Russians are victims of it at the moment. The Iranians have been for many, many years. But I think the Iranians have to stay steadfast. They have to take confidence and talk this up as another victory, really, because if they're that scared of Press TV, which they've limited in so many ways as it is, and are censoring it on virtually every platform that one knows here in the West, and yet they're still so terrified of it that they need to sanction it even more, then that, I think, in itself tells the story.
The Saudi-led war continues to take a heavy humanitarian toll on Yemen, with the country's health ministry saying more than 80 newborn babies lose their lives each day as a result. The ministry says lack of medical supplies and the use of internationally banned weapons by the Saudi-led coalition are the major reasons for stillborn babies. It says nearly 40% of Yemeni babies are stillborn each year, marking a drastic increase compared to the pre-war period. Riyadh, along with some of its allies, launched a devastating war on Yemen, coupled with a blockade in 2015 with the aim of reinstating a friendly regime there. Yemen is currently suffering from the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Earlier this week, a Yemeni health official slammed the Saudi war and siege for the spread of diseases and infections, including malaria. And the U.S. military says one of its bases in northeast Syria has come under a rocket attack. The U.S. military says rockets targeted the Green Village base, which is close to Iraq's border with Syria, late on Thursday. The military says no damage or casualties were caused. It also says American forces are investigating the incident. Attacks on U.S. military bases in the region, mainly in Iraq, have increased over the past several years as anti-American sentiments run high. Those sentiments began to rise after the U.S. assassinated Iran's top general, Qasem Soleimani, in Iraq in January 2020. He was a key anti-terror figure. South Korea says the neighboring North has made its second weapons launch in 2 days, firing a suspected intercontinental ballistic missile towards the Sea of Japan. According to the South Korean military, the latest missile flew 1,000 kilometers and reached an altitude of almost 6,100. On Thursday, North Korea tested a short-range ballistic missile as well. The National Security Council in Seoul has already met to discuss the latest developments. Japan has also confirmed the latest launch, saying the missile fell in waters in its exclusive economic zone. Tokyo says it was an ICBM that had enough range to reach U.S. mainland. China has also reacted to the launch, calling for dialogue.
China pays close attention to the development of the current situation on the Korean Peninsula. Maintaining peace and stability on the peninsula and preventing the situation from deteriorating and escalating conform to the common interests of the international community. We hope that all parties concerned will stick to the direction of political settlement and resolve the respective concerns in a balanced way through meaningful dialogue.
The U.S. has strongly condemned North Korea's missile test, calling it a brazen violation of U.N. Security Council resolutions. Russia, in the meantime, has accused the U.S. of testing North Korea's patience. Moscow says it's evident that Washington and its allies in the region prefer a path different from a diplomatic approach. Pyongyang has fired a barrage of missiles in recent months. In response to what it describes as U.S. hostilities, it's strongly critical of joint military drills frequently held by Washington and Seoul, saying they are a rehearsal for an invasion. Jennifer Chang in Seoul explains why North Korea has conducted its latest test and what it means to the U.S.
This test came after a regional gathering in Cambodia recently, at which the U.S. President Joe Biden held a summit with the Japanese Prime Minister and the South Korean President and pledged to defend South Korea and Japan with the full range of U.S. military weapons, including nuclear weapons. But if the North holds U.S. cities hostage with a nuclear-tipped ICBM, there's little that the U.S. can do to defend South Korea. This is what many experts are saying. The Hwasong-17 fired successfully today by the North can carry multiple warheads, including decoys, capable of evading U.S. missile defenses. And the nuclear warhead would just be one of those decoys. It would be one weapon mixed in with those decoys. And it would be impossible to tell which is a decoy and which is a nuclear warhead. So the U.S. would be helpless to defend a U.S. city against a North Korean ICBM tipped with a nuclear warhead.
And soaring prices in Japan have hit the wallets of consumers as inflation peaks its highest level in nearly four decades. Core consumer prices, excluding fresh food, increased by 3.6% in October compared to a year ago. That's according to data by the Japanese government. High prices of energy and raw material, as well as a weak national currency, are to blame for the high inflation. Chief Cabinet Secretary Hirokazu Matsuno says that has taken a toll on people's basic needs. Japan's central bank is resisting tilting to a tightening monetary policy. It says there's no need to raise interest rates, a move that some experts believe would help stave off inflation. In recent months, some central banks, like the U.S. Federal Reserve, have raised interest rates to contain inflation. And that brings us to an end here on this edition of the World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
After repeated failed attempts, NASA has eventually launched this moon rocket on its debut flight. NASA's next-generation moon rocket blasted off from Florida, marking the start of the space agency's new program dubbed Artemis. An uncrewed Orion spaceship is fixed to the top of the 32-story tall Space Launch System rocket. It will be separated for a 25-day voyage around the moon and back without astronauts aboard. It was the third time after two previous launch attempts were cancelled for technical reasons. If the mission succeeds, a crewed Artemis II will orbit around the moon but not land on the surface in 2024. The third Artemis mission, scheduled for 2025, will be the first to put astronauts on the moon since Apollo's mission about five decades ago.
Iran has hosted an international student scientific contest dubbed Noor or Light. The annual event seeks to promote science among children and scout for child prodigies. Yusuf Jalali has the story.
They have only 1 minute to present a scientific idea in their homemade clips. Over 1,300 teenage science enthusiasts from 19 countries participated in Iran's Noor competition, a scientific contest for school students. The fifth edition of the event was themed with optical illusion and mathematical modeling. The top 100 videos were awarded during this closing ceremony in Tehran.
My work is titled The Bouncing Ball. We painted a long oval and a shadow under it. When we film it from a certain angle, it takes the shape of a levitating ball.
Our work is about an optical illusion. We created a set of conjoining cylinders that appeared to change shape in the mirror. The idea was first created by a Japanese engineer in 2016.
The most creative videos win the prize. They should be both educational and mind-blowing, like this floating Rubik's Cube, which appears to be levitating, but then turns out to be just an origami work.
We have two levels of the competition. One is the kind of general competition for the crowd, and many students can contribute in that. And we have other level, which is for elites. And in that level, we have more sophisticated competition between elite.
Organizers say participants in Noor contests are not supposed to make breakthroughs. The main goal, they say, is to engage them in science and let them experience the excitement of scientific experiments.
Try to make these teenagers learn how they can think about science for the welfare of human beings and how they can apply it for them.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation is the organizer of this scientific event. The foundation also holds the biennial Mustafa Prize, which awards cash prizes to top scientists from across the Muslim world, whose accomplishments contribute to the welfare of human beings.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation, as the organizer of Noor competition, says prodigies are everywhere. They just need to be discovered. It says this contest is a platform that's specially designed to scout for teenage minds and give them a chance to shine. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Chinese aerobatic teams have been performing jaw-dropping stunts to mark the 73rd anniversary of the People's Liberation Army Air Force. Pilots wowed the audience with their complicated maneuvers, such as swooping close to the ground, making loops and rolls. aerobatic teams use red, yellow and blue smoke trails representing the flag of the Chinese Air Force. The Hongying aerobatic team, also known as the Red Eagle, is made up of 10 JL-8 trainer planes and 20 pilots from the Air Force Aviation University. The performance was part of China's International Aviation and Aerospace Exhibition held in southern China. The exhibit typically draws thousands of participants in the field of aviation from countries all over the world. Iran is the land of saffron, and the red gold has earned the country a fortune throughout the centuries. Now Iran's city of Torbat Haydariya has hosted a saffron photography festival as a means to introduce the lucrative product to the world. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Like gold, it is weighed in shekels, not in kilos. And that's why saffron is called the red gold, reflecting how precious it is economically. Torbat Haydariya in northeast Iran is the hub of saffron cultivation in the country, producing an average of 20 million tons of the crop each year. Now the city hosts the Festival of Saffron Photography every year to introduce Iran as the land of saffron and how these hard-working farmers produce the strategic crop.
Photographers present in this festival should use their artistry to shed light on different stages of saffron harvest all the way to the final product. Everyone knows Iranian saffron, but perhaps few know how it's produced. So this festival highlights this issue using photography.
Photography is a universal language that needs no translation, so their photos can better introduce this strategic plan to the world from unique angles.
This year, Iran exported roughly 300 tons of saffron, generating more than $350 million in income, according to the data provided by the Ministry of Agriculture. Experts believe Iran could have a much higher share of the global trade of saffron if it pays better attention to branding and marketing of the product.
Due to favorable weather conditions, Iranian saffron is unique in the world. But unfortunately, in many countries, it's smuggled in bulk and is packaged under foreign brands and then sold at higher prices. If we can brand it inside Iran, then we can export it more efficiently.
The young farm owner says his saffron is exported to Europe and the Middle East, despite the restrictions caused by U.S. sanctions on Iran. But more than the U.S. measures, he's concerned about the impact of climate change on saffron cultivation, warning of what he calls saffron immigration from his city, if authorities remain idle.
Unfortunately, saffron is gradually leaving our region and moving to western parts of Iran. This is due to changes in weather conditions and declining rainfall here. If the government helps farmers with modification of planting patterns, we can stop this disaster.
Over the past 2 years, Iran has expanded its cultivation area for saffron to 115,000 hectares, nearly 20 times more than the entire worldwide land dedicated to the crop. While the Iranian red gold is mainly cultivated in the northeastern Khorasan province, other parts of the country, including Khuzestan and Chaharmahal Bakhtiari, are also fertile for saffron farming.
For centuries, saffron has been a key word in Iran's economy, and still is today. Now, Saffron Photography Festival says many know Iran by its red gold, but through the photos shot here, they will get a glimpse of the mesmerizing saffron farms in Iran and how this amazing crop is produced. Yusuf Jalali from the saffron farms in the suburbs of Torbat Haydariya.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Iran has unveiled a new jersey for its national football team for the upcoming 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. The new sports attire was showcased during a special ceremony in the capital, Tehran. The event was attended by some of the biggest names in Iran's soccer federation and included a series of entertaining performances. One objective of the ceremony was to see off the national soccer team, who will be making the trip to Qatar in less than a week. The jersey has been created by an Iranian sportswear designer who designed official jerseys for several Iranian sports teams taking part in international competitions. The heavily anticipated World Cup tournament will kick off on the 20th of November. Usually, rats are associated with garbage and disease, but these rats are not the typical rodents. They are being trained in Tanzania for search and rescue operations. These are a breed called the African giant pouch rat, which is naturally a very curious creature. It can weigh up to around 1,500 grams and are known to have longer lifespans than other rats. Lead researcher at the Belgium-based non-profit company Apopo, Donna Keane, says this species can live up to 10 years. This means that even after the 9 months of training, the rat will still have a long working career ahead. The size and agility of rats make them invaluable for search and rescue efforts.
So this is where the idea for the rats came in, because the rats are just as trainable as dogs. They've got a great sense of smell, and their small size and natural agility should hopefully make them really good in this scenario where they could squeeze in small spaces and get closer to any victims.
The rescue rats began training in August last year at the Apopo's Training and Research Center. The rodents are fitted with tiny backpacks that enable real-time wireless audio-visual communication. When they find a potential victim, they pull a small handle hanging around their neck to let the rescue handlers know. The rats were trained to locate humans in mock disaster zones, such as aftermath of earthquakes. Apopo has already trained rats to detect landmines and sniff out tuberculosis. So much joy can be found in a bottle of luxury perfume, but parting with hundreds of dollars for such scents, I can take the shine off that experience. Now in Syria, a perfumer is helping people smell expensive without digging too deep into their pockets. One whiff of a fragrance is all a Syrian perfumer needs to recreate the scents of luxury brands for a fraction of a cost. That's very welcome in a country ravaged by years of foreign-backed militancy. Dozens of customers flock daily to his tiny store nestled in the historic bazaar of Damascus. They flash photos on their phones of high-end perfumes they want to replicate. He says all he has is his nose.
Here lies the secret of the profession and the brain power. I started training my nose to smell perfumes since I was 15 years old. I do not own high-end equipment. All I have is my nose, my brain power and expertise. That's all.
In the war-torn country, many people struggle to afford life's bare necessities, let alone perfume. With the local currency losing much of its value, Syrian employees reportedly make roughly $25 a month, on average a quarter of the price of a bottle of imported perfume. This perfumer sells his fragrances for about $6, drawing in a flow of clients from all walks of life. So Some people believe the internet will soon make paper books a thing of the past. In Iraq, book lovers are fighting back. They have launched a book festival offering thousands of free books to encourage the Arab nation to read more. The festival is called Iraq Reads. It's attracted big crowds. Iraqis stood shoulder to shoulder behind long tables covered in books and flipped through hundreds of titles to find the one catching their interest. Some others gather on next to the stands to read under a tree, chat about their newest books, or listen to extracts of literature read aloud through a loudspeaker. One of the organizers says they aim to revive the culture of reading books, reading paper books.
It's a crisis all over the world, not only in Iraq. There is a crisis in terms of reading paper books. One of the goals for our festival is to revive the reading of paper books so that the electronic book does not become an alternative of the paper book.
As part of the festival, 70,000 books have been distributed for free across the country so far. The books covering a wide range of topics were donated by partner libraries. The festival is held in 7 provinces in the Arab country.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. All our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we discuss the verses of the Quran as we read on with our dear and beloved Brother Habib. Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for coming to this show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
All right, so we're going through the chapters of the Quran one by one. We're in chapter 75 of the Quran, Al-Qiyamah, or the Resurrection. We've arrived on verse 5. Let's listen to verse 5 onwards, and then we'll be back for the discussion.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ.
But man desires to continue in sin.
يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ.
He asks, when is the day of resurrection?
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just heard verses 5 onwards from chapter 75 of the Quran, Al-Qiyamah, or the Resurrection. So on verse 5 and 6, it reads, "But man desires to defile what lies before him, asking when is the day of resurrection." Let's talk about defiling what we have ahead of us. What does the Quran mean about this piece?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting forward the reasons why they go into denial about, let's say, the possibility of the day of resurrection or the concept of resurrection. Why do they not accept any evidence that comes forward that proves that resurrection not only is possible, but will happen, and not only will happen, needs to happen,
right? The return of human beings so they could be judged is something that needs to happen. And of course, the return of the body is possible. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it's not that they have an intellectual problem, nor is it that they have a problem with understanding the evidence, or the evidence is not clear, or the evidence is wrong and void, but rather that they want to continue sinning in this world, in this world without being checked for in the future. They go into denial because their desires are in control of them and driving them towards what they want, whether be it being a leader, a head chief, being wealthy, not being obliged to do this responsibility and this duty and this task, being able to do whatever you want, that freedom that the human beings, you know, kind of crave. And that is the reason why they deny the Day of Judgment. Because when you believe in a Day of Judgment,
then you're responsible.
You're limited. You're responsible. There are laws you have to follow. There is a just Lord, owner of the Day of Judgment, who will be judging you on that day, whose laws you have to follow. That is what we recite in Surah Al-Fatiha every day, at least 5 times. Maliki Yawm al-Din, the owner, the ruler of the Day of Judgment. It means that the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give are the limitations that the human beings are obliged to follow and must follow.
So they don't actually have a problem with the concept of being revived. It's in their interest to deny the existence.
Yes, it is.
But if it exists, how is it in their interest to deny it? Because one way or another, it's going to happen. Let's talk about that after the break. Yes, that's the question that we're going to be talking about after the break. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 5 of chapter 75 of the Quran. So it says that, but man desires to defile what lies before him. And you said that it's not that the disbelievers didn't in their heart believe in a day of judgment, believe in life after death, but it's because it was in their interest to deny it so that they could carry on living however they wish without limitations, taking all the liberty that they can. My question is that if they know in their heart that it's going to happen, whether they deny it or not, how is it in their interest to deny it?
That's something that I've always asked myself, and I found it as a door to understand the concept of al-mustad'af, that the people who deny Islam, for example, altogether, deny religion, deny something, they're not all the same. People are different. Intellect is different. Their capacity is different. And when you look at, for example, Pharaoh had all the evidence. He saw miracles in front of his eyes, miracles that cannot be denied. Yet, still, it's the desires that cause them to become blind. جَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. They deny it, yet they are in knowledge of it. In a different verse. In verse 20, as stated in verse 20 here, كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ. You like the immediate life. You desire, you want this immediate life. You're not looking for the hereafter because it's in front of you right now. You want to take it. Instead of using your intellect, that true prudence, if you use that correctly, you would have waited. You would have had zuhud. You would have left this world and waited for the hereafter. Would I be correct in saying that the reason why these people denied the Day of Judgment, even though they believed in it in their heart, was because of the sins that they had already committed, which prevented them from accepting the truth?
That plays a role as well. That plays a role, where they saw what a sin, they saw the sins, and like how فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased in their sicknesses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blinded them. And that is because they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
When you do a sin, you get used to it. And when you get used to it, you want to do it more and more and more. Anything that comes in your way, you're just going to throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal. That's the sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sees a human being like this, He stops from trying to, you know, keep on
guiding
him and pushing him towards the path of guidance.
So my follow-up question would be that for those of us who have a difficulty in some part of the religion, like waking up for salah, or fasting in Ramadan, or hijab, or honesty, being an honest person, and perhaps it's because of our previous sins that is acting as an obstacle for us to enact this stuff, what can we do so that we can take that first step towards receiving God's guidance?
First
again?
Thing is istighfar. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness, tawbah, repenting, and understanding, gaining that knowledge that these are the law, as long as I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a Lord. These are His laws. I must follow them, whether I like it or not. It's not about what you like. It's about what Allah wants. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with. We're not talking about your satisfactions. I hate, for example, the fact that I can't listen to music. I like to listen to music. But in all, you know, when I go back down to myself and I understand the religion of Islam and I understand the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet, وَلَا تَلْعَبُ وَلَا تَلْهُ, right? Do not play and do not, you know, and the meaning of it, do not listen to music and stuff like that. I stay away. I prohibit myself. I forbid myself from falling into listening to music, even though I like to listen to it.
So can one advice be to take a small step first towards doing more good and then avoiding some of the sins that you can,
that is,
so you can
that,
start
that is the
working.
Concept. There is this concept available in Ilm al-Akhlaq, like morals or ethics, and also Ilm al-Urfan, al-Nadhari, theoretical Urfan or mysticism. Anyway, they state that first of all, at-takhalli, thumma at-tahalli. First of all, stop sinning, stop doing sins, do what is an obligation, then start to do what is these recommended acts. And then, of course, they go in deeper to their
details,
know, and
right.
their details and their path.
Thank you very much. Let's take a break. Let's take a break now, and we'll be back for the rest of the discussion in the last part of today's episode. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on chapter 75 of the Quran, studying verses 5 and 6. On verse 5, it says that, but man desires to defy what lies before him. It can also be seen as like wasting what is before him. Is that right? How can we waste the Day of Judgment?
Of course, now the verse that you stated, the translation of the verse you stated is pretty much, you know, looking at it in a different aspect, or is looking at the verse in a different understanding. And that is that the human beings ruin what comes in the future, right? Wants to ruin what comes in the future. And usually how do you ruin it? And that is by not doing or not following, you know, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this understanding or in this interpretation of the verse, it's not looking at the reasons of denial, but rather it's looking at the human beings as a whole, who kind of, you know, that
negligence.
They have this innal insan innal fi khusr. Of course, over there was this, you know, specific aspect of time which we talked about, and time wasting. Here also it could be like we're going closer to the Day of Resurrection every day. Every breath we take, we're going closer and closer to the Day of Resurrection. And are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? In order that we do not ruin what is coming ahead of us, or not. So that's, you know, that's
part
you could
the,
take from that, from this interpretation of verse.
That we're not repenting while we should be repenting. We're not using this opportunity to
not using our opportunity to do good.
That's, yeah, and build our afterlife, which is eternal.
Yes.
Verse 6 says, asking when is the day of resurrection.
Here they're mockingly asking about the day of judgment. When will it occur? It's like when your little kid says that the tooth fairy is coming to take away my teeth, and you say, when is she coming? You're mocking the idea. You're making fun of the idea. You're belittling the idea. Here, they're belittling it as well. Here also, there's something to take. We took the reason of denial, right? The denial of the possibility and the occurrence of the day of resurrection, which was because they want to continue to sin. Here, we could take a lesson. How do they deal with the concept? Do they bring out knowledge? Do they bring out evidence? Do they bring out proof? No. They didn't bring no evidence. They didn't bring no doubts. They didn't bring no questions. Rather, every question that they brought forward, the Prophet, the Quran, they answered. So what did they do? They mock it. Mm-hmm. They belittle it. Mm-hmm. So that people will continue to follow them. So that they will continue to, you know, remain in their denial and remain with their desires and remain with what they crave. So that's the lesson to take from here. It says that يسأل أيان يوم القيامة. They're asking, when is the day of judgment? The Holy Quran is giving out a lesson for the Arabs of the time, at the time, and for the Muslims altogether to understand that the message of Islam is clear. It's honest. It's out there. We put our shoulders, whenever you enter a debate as a Muslim and you have this knowledge, you wear your heart as armor when you go into these debates. Why? Because you're certain of your evidence. You're certain of your evidence. And anyone that tries to fight your evidence, we have answers for it. And the only thing that they do, mock. Like in today's world, they try not to mock, but rather make fear. Cause fear. Scare people away from Islam. Now this is just this story I want to finish off with, and it's very quick. Hisham ibn al-Hakam, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, went into a debate with one of the Mu'tazilis, Shaykh al-Mu'tazila at the time, the big heads. Hisham ibn al-Hakam said that if I win in this debate, you follow my religion. The man said, all right, if I win, you follow my religion. Hisham ibn al-Hakam said, no, that's not cool, that's not even. If you win, I return to my imam to get the answers, then I come back. It's very beautiful. It's very smart. He knows his uncertainty about his religion is right 100%. And that anything that the person says is self-evidently wrong. This doubt has an answer. This misconception has an answer. All you have to do is return to the Quran, to Ahlul Bayt alayhum salam, to the scholars who took this knowledge from Ahlul Bayt and the Quran to reach your point. And this is just a lesson from one verse. Thank How many words? Four much. Words. I want to talk more about it.
Yeah, I'm afraid we don't have time. All right, thank you very much. So we talked about the reasons of denial, why people would deny the Day of Judgment, even though they actually know deep in their heart that there will be a life after death. And that is because of their personal interests or the sins that they had committed before. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always nice talking to you. You can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous ones from our website. Simply search iRabi English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies.
Shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.